You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
And Rob Hollis.
There
it's weird
go.
To say your own name.
Is
I don't
it?
Know how you do it every week.
You just have to really hate yourself.
Yeah.
Like I do. I pretend I love myself, Rob.
Well, or you really love yourself.
No,
and
I think,
like
you know what? I'm
name.
Learning to like myself more. I wake up now and I'm just going like, I'm grateful. I do that. You know, we do that. You guys should try this. This is kind of behavioral therapy, but Chris Sullivan from This Is Us, most mornings we text each other the first thing we wake up, no matter how shitty you feel, if your kid takes a dump on your floor like Rob's did a couple of weeks ago, or my dog steps in shit and it tracks all over the house. You just are grateful. We say, Rob, I'm grateful for you as a friend.
Yeah, you're going to find three things.
I'm grateful for you to get me to do this podcast, even though it's too much work. I'm grateful for, he just shook his head. I'm grateful for Chris Sullivan. I'm grateful for friends and family and to be able to be alive. I think that's the most important thing. But it feels good to just say that. It feels corny, like, oh, I'm not doing that. And then when you do, you're like, hey, I just made someone feel good. I feel good. I think it's important. You like what we do
it's
that?
It's nice to be positive.
Hey, today's guest is a good friend of mine. He was one of the first guys to get me to do stand-up comedy besides Harlan Williams and Bobby Lee and Swartzen. This guy, Joe Coy.
I love Joe Coy.
Joe Coy sells out crowds like all over the world. His Netflix special's killing it. He's doing another Netflix special. But look, it gets emotional, guys. And I didn't know it was getting emotional, and it just happened. It's not the emotional you'll think about, like when you think about someone telling a tragic story. This is a different kind of
emotion.
We got
a little bit of that in this one, too, though.
We do have that, but this is a, you know, he's a beautiful man, and he's
it's an open book.
He's an open book, and we talk about everything. So if you're a Joe Coy fan, if you're a fan of life, if you like comedy, you like great happy endings and good stories, this is the podcast to listen to. Let's get inside of Joe Coy.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience. Do you eat like shit? Because you seem like you're in shape.
Do I?
Mm-hmm. I grabbed you. Well, we hugged each other. I didn't grab you.
You're rock hard.
I am.
Your shoulders were very firm, strong, and defined.
I do dips and push-ups. That's all I do.
Every day?
No. But I mean enough. Enough to where when you hugged me, have you ever hugged somebody and they feel a little softer than you thought? What, like their face looks harder, and then you hug them and it's soft, like there's a very stern face and then a very feminine feeling body. You know what I mean? Like it just...
Are you insinuating something? Because you keep going on and staring at me and my body.
Well, because you're...
You're a little softer than
little,
you look.
But your face is...
Very hard.
Hard. Your face is hard.
So you came in here with a hoodie, and I was like, you're like, hey, I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm not pretentious. You're like, but I was wearing a CPAP.
Okay,
is
wear
it a
CPAP
or a pack?
CPAP.
Okay,
PAP.
Is it for snoring or is it for apnea?
It's for apnea.
And are apnea and snoring the same thing?
It's it falls in the same category.
Have you ever had a...
It's disgusting.
Have you ever had a CPAP smear?
I had one.
And
I had infected. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. He said it's infected.
Now you're married.
The whole mask between my legs. I go, are you sure that's supposed to go there? He goes, just breathe. Through my ass?
Why do I have
he
a
said,
visual?
Just breathe. I don't even think he was a real doctor.
Yeah, I don't either.
He just had that stethoscope.
That's it?
I believed him.
Are you sure it wasn't Halloween?
Anyone with a stethoscope? Oh, fuck, it was.
It was Halloween.
It was a Halloween
party. It
was party.
Me. I was a doctor for Halloween once. I wonder if it was me.
That was you.
Yeah,
and I kept breathing.
You care if Rob takes a couple pictures of us? Of you eating your peanut butter and jelly? He'll make sure they're good shots.
I know, but look at me. I'll tell you.
I mean,
are the marks still there?
We've explained. Let me see.
I'm not going to show you.
Well, let me see. Let me see the marks. He's not going to take a picture if they're the marks. I won't.
Anyone that has sleep apnea knows what I'm talking about. You wear the mask and you strap it on tight because you don't want it to come off. But then you wake up with these lines on your face. I look like Bane when he takes the mask off and the straps are still there. The strap indentions are still there.
Well, I've learned now, if you look around, I have most of my iconic stuff is from horror movies. You see,
yeah, I see that.
Can you name?
Which I can understand why, because you're,
yeah,
you're pretty fucked up.
I think you say it with being funny, but I think you think, you know I'm a little fucked
100%.
Up.
100%. I'm not trying to be funny. You're fucked up.
Yeah, why is that?
You're fucked up. You're deep. You're dark.
Am I dark?
Have people said that to you?
I don't think I mean, dark. I think I go to some dark places on my own in my own head.
Yeah.
But do you think anything's wrong with you? You seem like you really have a... Like, you just know who you are. You know what you're doing. You don't, you're fearless. Why are you so fearless? How do I get some of that?
You have it. What are you talking about?
I think I had it, and I have it at moments. I forget I have it, and I think about it too much.
Mm. You're in your head.
I'm in my head too much.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing drugs.
No, you're not.
When you do drugs, you're not in your head.
What kind of drugs would you do?
Definitely, you know, after my back surgery or my neck surgery that I just had, Norcos. And they're not good because you get addicted. And I don't have an addictive personality. And I don't want to get addicted. But they give you just a little bit, like, I don't give a fuck kind of attitude.
Yeah. They gave me that. And I was like, I can't do this.
What? You don't take any drugs, do you?
None.
Do you drink?
I drink occasionally, but then my ankles swell up. What is that all about? I'm not trying to be funny. Once again, Jameson and Coke is my drink of choice. And right around the third glass, I start to feel my ankle swell up. So I don't know if I have a kidney problem or something.
You know what?
But I look down at my foot and it's just, it's not a good thing.
Hey, Rob, I wonder if 23andMe, you know, we just did an ad for them.
Mm. Yeah, we did.
Well, they tell you all sorts of shit, like alcohol, if you have an adverse reaction to alcohol.
Yes.
Some people do. I do. Like, my cheeks get flush. I feel just a little bit, like, why am I a little drunk and feel tired?
Yeah.
When I drink alcohol.
That's it.
So maybe that's...
I don't think they have an ankle swelling report.
Maybe your shoes are too tight.
Who's this guy? Is it a doctor?
Yeah,
it's not Halloween.
I mean, there might
be... Is it Halloween right now? You got a stethoscope? Yeah, what the fuck is it? You're going to sit down? You put headphones on? You're official? Who's this guy? You're just taking video.
Yeah, you just took tons of
pictures. Now I got a diagnosis. I don't think there's an ankle swelling.
But I just mean in the report.
Why not?
I just mean in the report. There might be a genetic marker for it, but
23andMe. Oh, man. You came in hot with that one.
Do you wear tight shoes?
I wear oversized shoes because of my feet.
Do you get a lot of free shit?
No.
That's
ridiculous. I buy all my stuff.
No. You sell out stadiums and... Like, I've read about all this stuff, and I've seen, like, you have records, like, 11 sold-out shows in Honolulu and shit, and, like, all over the world. Like, just, you sell out. So you have to have people that want to endorse you and give you free shit. That sweatshirt was given to you.
No. This one we make.
What about
this
CPAP?
This is my brand. This is my brand.
What?
This is my brand.
What does it say?
From the ghetto to the Getty.
Oh, that's nice.
Can I get it to you?
Can I wear it?
Yes. I would love for you.
Do you have different colors?
What color do you want? I'll make it for you.
I don't look good in black.
You're like a blue.
Because I'm really pale. Maybe blue.
Yeah, like a blue.
I would wear the shit out of it.
How about a white?
No. I'll wear a white.
You'll wear a white?
I'll be a little washed up, but I'll wear a white maybe with my... I'll wear that.
Yeah.
I'd like to. You sell a lot of those at your...
So me and my ex, my son's mom, her boyfriend... Yeah, of course. You know, I take care of her. She lives wherever I move. I move to right next to me, make sure that my son is within walking distance. And just, you know, she's a good mommy. And her boyfriend is an artist, and they came up with this design, and I invested in the company. So
commendable.
Yeah.
I mean,
now, his mommy has something to brag about and be proud about. And I love that. You know what I mean? She's got her own brand, her own line, her own business.
Well, how does your new lady feel about that? How close you are with the ex?
Oh, great. Great. It should. I mean, the thing is, when you have an ex with a kid, that's a completely different type of relationship. You know what I mean? Like, if you're friends with your ex and you don't have a kid, then you need to, like, figure life out. I'm not into that whole, oh, I'm still best friends with my ex. Well, then you need to go fuck your ex. Because you can't get involved with someone like that. That's just me. I don't know how you feel.
Now I'm really believing I'm fucked up because every time you say something, I'm starting to go like, well, I am friends with a lot of exes because...
But are you in a serious relationship?
Not right now.
Well, then you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're in a
serious
relationship, you got to end those relationships. That's not cool.
Well, I have exes that are married with kids and, like, you know, and I'm friends with the husband and it's just cool because that was so long ago. 7 years ago, 2 months ago, whatever.
2 months is not that long.
No,
it's not that long.
But
it's not that long.
Maybe my problem is I worry too much about, like, I want to get along. I don't want people to just, like, not like me. I want to show that I'm a good guy. And sometimes you don't have to show you're a good guy. Relationships don't work out.
Yeah.
The exes don't like each other. That's life.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck. You're like, when it's done, it's done.
It's done, yeah. Because it didn't work out. And you can't bring that relationship into a new relationship. I just don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were your parents all together? Are they together?
No, they're divorced.
How many years?
Oh my God, 30, my whole life, basically. When I was like 10. So,
well, that had to affect you.
Oh, big time. And that's why I'm not best friends, but very close with my ex, because I saw what it did to me and my sisters. You know what I mean? I saw how it destroyed the family when they kept fighting for all these years. And I was just like, I don't understand why you have to fight.
Was there alcohol involved?
Nope.
No drugs?
No.
Infidelity?
No. I think it was just the times. I think there was a lot of... clash of cultures and races.
Where was this?
This was, you know, we're talking about my mom coming into this country right around 68. So, you know, it was kind of like a new thing for my dad's side of the family to get a hold of. And I don't think they really did. And I think that had a big part of the split.
What was the fighting? What would you give me an example of, like, an argument that would happen?
The thing is, they would just argue
about everything.
I think they were just looking for an out. And when that out happened, it was dirty.
What was
good.
The out?
I don't know. I really don't. To be honest, I was 10, 11, you know, and just things were not good in the household. And, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff that was happening too, with my brother being, you know, he has schizophrenia, and, you know, he was hard to deal with in the house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's not something you talk about, probably.
No, I don't talk about that much. But that's why I kind of understand where my dad's coming from. You know, especially as I got older, I'm like, oh, I get it. I understand. Like, I would have done the same thing at that age.
Well, what was he, where was he coming from?
I put myself in my dad's situation, and I can't put him in the time frame, because that time frame had a lot of racism involved. There was a lot of new stuff happening, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of soldiers were coming back married from the war, you know what I mean? Like, everything was new, you know what I mean? So I can't put myself in that situation, but I understand my dad's mentality, because when he married my mom, she already had a son. And the son, when he got a little older, was diagnosed with schizophrenia and, like, violent schizophrenia.
What are the signs of that, like, early on?
I mean,
he had
the absolute worst signs. Like, whatever you can think of and imagine, just multiple personalities, talking, lashing out, fighting. He did all that.
And at first you just thought he was a rebellious kid, maybe?
No.
Something was wrong.
We knew he had something, yeah. I mean, that's still, like, my most vivid memory is my brother jumping up in the middle of the night saying, I'm a tiger, and, like, just growling really loud. Like, I still remember that to this day.
Did it scare you?
It scared everybody, you know? And then he never left the hospital since.
Like, he believed he was a tiger.
Yeah, and then the cops came, and, you know, he ended up in the hospital, And that was it. That was the last I saw my teenage brother, man.
And he's been in a hospital ever since?
In and out of hospitals ever since, yeah.
You haven't seen him?
Oh, no. I mean, nah. I'm going to be honest, man. The last time I saw my brother was, man, 8 years ago. It's hard, man. It's hard. It's hard to get on the phone with my brother, you know? Like, I love him to death. And sometimes I like to just remember the memories. This is bad pod. I'm sorry, man. Is this what you really want to hear right now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But it's called Inside of You. So it's honestly, these moments, it's like, it's amazing how, and I talk about this, how people who suffer from mental health, or they have family members, like, this came out of nowhere, and it's like, this is what people gravitate towards, because it's just honest shit.
Yeah.
It's real shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of podcasts, they talk about, you know, like, and we can get into all that, but, like, I'm interested, because it's like how you survived.
Yeah.
How, as a little 10-year-old boy, is the most interesting part of the conversation of your parents are fighting. It's a different time. There's racism. Your brother has half brother has schizophrenia.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How does Joe Coy become one of the biggest comedians in the world?
Mm.
That's what's important to me finding out.
I think, you know, just that divorce was a bad thing, but it was also a good thing, because I knew I was a funny kid, but then I just buried myself in stand up comedy. Like, because my mom was never, I think I was like 11 when I saw Eddie Murphy and it was over with. I couldn't stop watching stand-up. You know, it was like Robin Williams. It was George Carlin.
Do you, like, memorize the acts?
I did when I was that age, yeah.
So you remember, like, knowing Delirious from beginning to end?
Man, I took my mom's credit card and bought tickets to Raw at 14, 15.
You saw Raw?
Yeah, I went to Raw Live at the Seattle Coliseum.
Are you kidding me?
I think I was the only kid there. I'm not even joking. Because back, you know, think about it, 85... No one was into stand-up comedy, especially a teenager. Teenagers didn't start getting into, like, stand-up until, like, maybe 10 years ago.
I wasn't even allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
Get upstairs.
Yeah, because I remember having tapes and listening to them and making sure my mom wasn't, in the, you know, around, because it was, like, so dirty.
Stick a boogie in your butt. Stick me in your butt. Stick a tree in your butt. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I love
boogie
that.
In your butt. Are you kidding me?
Boogie in your butt. Butt. Dude, Rob, that, you know that?
No.
Well, fuck you.
I don't understand how people don't know Eddie Murphy. Oh,
I know Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, but you don't know his stand-up.
The early days, bro.
Man, the guy was a legend.
Watch Delirious. Watch Raw. I mean, the very few people like I think that are funnier than Eddie. I mean,
there are none. There are none.
He's your favorite.
To this day, I can guarantee any stand-up comic will admit he is the funniest guy in the room, no matter what, no matter how funny you are. You put Eddie Murphy, watch any of Eddie Murphy's interviews on any late show. He's so natural.
Yeah.
Like, it just comes out. Like, he is the funniest guy ever. Like, I'm sorry. There's just
have you met him?
Funnier than him. No, I met him one time at the Coffee Bean. This is when I was coming up.
And, were you starstruck?
Beyond, because I was always the Coffee Bean on Coldwater. And it's like, this is like years ago, man. This is like, man, 14 years ago, you know? I'm barely coming up. And it's me, Chris D'Elia. Chris was, you know, hanging out with me.
Chris D'Elia was supposed to do the show yesterday, and Christian bailed. Is he a bailer?
You know, he's
a little flaky.
He's another dark one.
Well, he's...
Together, you guys are going to be really dark.
Donnie Darko, too?
Yeah. I like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, I think he's darker than me.
I love Chris.
Me too. He's brilliant.
I saw him at the Ha Ha, and maybe he was a year in. Maybe a year and a half in, 2 years, maybe. And I just looked down and go, you want to go on the road with me? And I took him on the road for about almost 2 years, a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. He was crushing in front of me. I loved it.
All right.
That's what you do.
Coffee Bean.
So we're at the Coffee Bean, and who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, Rob.
You give him a headset.
Rob.
He's a doctor. He's a producer.
He's an interrupter.
Who is this guy?
Bring you back to what you're talking about.
Photographer.
There was a pause.
Yeah. Menopause.
Menopause.
Go ahead, bro.
Coffee Bean. So Coffee Bean, Chris was like, yeah, you're not going to believe he was here 3 days ago. I was like, who? Eddie Murphy. I go, damn it. Every time, because we all knew that Eddie goes to that Coffee Bean. He's notorious for going to that.
Still.
And he just gets a black cup of coffee and he leaves. So anyways, right when he said, I swear to God, right when he said it, in he walks. And I just looked at Chris and he's like, you're going to kick yourself if you don't say something to him. So I walked up to him and shook his hand.
And he was cool? Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does he do that?
Can
you
thanks,
do that
man.
Is that what he said?
Yeah,
I met him.
But then his eyes said this. Get the fuck away from me.
Come on. You know that's true.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know what, though? I had a good end because I was at the, we had the same dentist.
Yeah.
And I was in there, and for 20 years, I knew that he went to that dentist.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, man, I want to meet Eddie. And I was cool about it. And one day, I see Eddie starting to walk out, and I just go, you know that attitude where you're sitting there reading some shitty magazine? I just want to give you the visual, and all of a sudden you see one of your idols,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you just sit up straight, like your body on its own just goes, sucks up to this posture where you're like, there he is, and you just can't stop it. It's like an exorcism going on in your fucking body. And I see him, and I wasn't going to say a fucking word. I was just like, Eddie, and all of a sudden his dentist goes, Eddie, this is Michael Rosenbaum. You really should meet him. He's someone you should know. That's what she said.
Wow.
And I go, she's not wrong.
Ah!
And something stupid like that. And he goes, hey, how you doing, man? We said like a real brief. And then he goes, hey, take care of yourself. I'll see you around or something. And I was just like, that's Eddie Murphy. That's the guy when I was your age or whatever. Because we're about the same age. But yeah, man, I still get starstruck. There's certain people, and I feel weird around celebrities, bigger celebrities. I don't feel comfortable. That's why most of my friends aren't celebrities. The friends that I hang out with and I take to see Yachtly Crew at the Viper Room, where we watch Yacht Rock, I don't know what it is. I can be around them, and I can fit in, but I don't feel like I fit in.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Do you feel like you fit in?
I don't know. I feel like I have like this different mindset now. I feel like with my accomplishments, I'm like, yeah, I belong here, man. I walk into a party and I'm like, yeah.
But you did feel like that before. There was
before I was like, whoa, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But then I'm starting to get love from other celebs and I'm just like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, people love you. How many people come up to you a day?
A lot.
A lot.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's a lot. It's kind of weird because the Netflix is what put it over.
And you're doing another one, right?
I got two more coming.
You got two more coming.
Yeah. But you know, Mike, I didn't get that first one, man. Did I tell you my story?
I want to hear it.
I didn't get it. They passed on me. So when they made that big push for stand-up comedy, it was like 2016. And they announced in 2015 that they were going to do like this huge push for stand-up. And they were going to go after all these comics. And I was like, I want to get on that. You know, I didn't want to go to Comedy Central again. I wanted to be on Netflix, and we kept pursuing them, kept inviting them to come to the shows, and you know I'm selling 18 shows in a row. Like, come to one, just see what I'm doing. Like, please give this to me. And they weren't coming, and then finally they were like, we're gonna pass. We already got everybody for 2016, and you know we'll come out and look at you on 2017 for 2018. I'm like, my son's gonna be 20 by then. You know,
were you heartbroken?
Yeah, I was crushed because I didn't get it, and I'm not.
What did you think it was? What did you think it was?
I don't know. I was it politics? I don't know what it was. Was I not ready? Because I thought I was very ready. It was proven. Like, I mean, my demo shows that it's relatable. It's, you know, I'm killing it. And so I was really like hurt, you know?
I deserve this. I've worked hard.
Yeah. And not only that, when you have a son, it's like you know, especially in this business, man, like especially comedy, it's like, how do you show your son that I was appreciated or something? You know what I mean? Like, whenever you say I'm a stand-up comic, everyone always like, oh, really, where? Tell me a joke. Or they'll do something stupid like that if they don't know you. And this was that moment. This was that what I needed. Like, this is what I wanted my son to be like, yeah, that's my dad. You know, like, it was more than just me. It was like, it was everything, you know? It was everything I worked for. And I was just like, I want to, when I die, I want my son to be like, that's my dad. You know what I mean? So I was pissed, but I didn't want to sit there and go on Twitter and bash Netflix and go, oh, well, why'd you give it to this guy?
Because I'm Filipino?
Yeah, is it because I'm Filipino?
You fuck.
What, you don't think Filipinos exist in the community?
There's Filipino Town.
Do you know what it is?
Isn't it
historic?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There is. There is.
I see the sign when I go down to the Laker games.
It's fun. It's fun.
Will you take me there sometime?
Oh, my God.
I'd love to eat some show pal.
Yes.
Hang out with the Filipinos.
You know it.
I would love it. I love it. I know. I've hung out Filipino people.
Oh, you would be amazing.
We talked about this.
You would be amazing.
What's a good restaurant to eat in Filipino town?
I don't know any.
You don't know any?
I don't know one.
Is there good Filipino food, though?
No, there's good Filipino food. It's just I really like to cook at home.
What do you cook?
I cook everything Filipino dish.
Lumpia, pancit?
Yeah.
His wife's Filipino.
I don't cook
pancit. Look at this.
Who are you?
Rob, will you shut the fuck up?
Shut the fuck up, man. You know everything?
Jesus.
Pancit, lumpia?
Balut.
Let me help you with some of the ingredients.
Do you speak Tagalog, motherfucker?
Do you speak Tagalog?
No.
You should. Your wife's Tagalog. She speaks Tagalog?
No, she doesn't.
No.
She doesn't?
No, no. There's more than just one dialect.
What is there?
There's thousands.
But Tagalog's the main Filipino language, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Tagalog.
So I was...
You were close.
Now, you said something. I want to rewind because then I want to get
Wait,
to
I got
to
talk about Netflix.
All right, because something shocked me that you said I wanted my son to really go, that's my dad. I'm proud of my dad. Meanwhile, you're selling out stadiums. I want to get back to that. So finish your story, and we're going to go back to that.
So I could have done the hate thing. I could have went on Twitter and just done that whole deflecting the energy, you know what I mean? And, and absorbing just negativity and just bashing. I could have done that. I really could have.
Did you think about
it? A lot of people would have went to... No, I mean, I was mad because I felt like... I was like, yo, I deserve this, and I don't understand why this... You know, I say, who doesn't say that? Oh, he got one, but I didn't get one. She got one. I didn't get one. You could do that all day.
Yeah, but
that doesn't
me.
Do anything. That doesn't do anything, though. No matter how many times people say no to you, you just... I don't know. You got to dig deep and show them, you know? And I literally paid for that special, man. I paid every fucking
you
penny, Mike.
You paid?
The whole thing.
How much?
Man, I can't tell you that because in the agreement when they bought it from me, you know, they doubled it. Yeah, you know, they gave me my money plus some more.
Let me just say, was it over $100,000?
More.
That you put your own money
way more.
Hundreds of thousands of
okay,
dollars.
Okay, let me tell you why I went way more. Because I could have went that route. We could have shot it for $100,000.
Right.
You
know, she wanna stage,
I could have went to the. I could have went to any improv, got three cameras and shot it. And I could have said, oh, well, the materials is what's going to sell it. Or I can make it look like something that Netflix put money into. Yeah, like this is something that they would be proud of.
Talk about banking on yourself, man.
Yeah, man. Bro, Mike, that night, I can't even explain to you how stressed out I was because just the letters behind me alone were $14,000. So if you can imagine just the letters behind me, the J and the K was $14,000. Just imagine how much everything else was. And then on top of that, I also had to be like, I want to be able to sell this. But what sucks is the person that I'm selling to already said no. And that's who I'm trying to sell this to again. They already said no. They said, we're passing. We just did this on our own. We didn't even go, hey, well, we're going to go shoot it and we'll be right back. We didn't even say that. They said no. And then I made it because there's no way you should have said no to that. I didn't get it, so I shot it, and then we brought it back to him.
99.9, I'm going to say 100% of people walk away. They walk away and say they said no, on to the next thing.
Yeah,
they
that would have been
think,
the worst
no,
decision.
No, well, let me spend all my money or a lot of my money that I've earned to prove to you. Was there more of the competitive edge to say, fuck you, I'm funny?
Yeah.
Was that what it was really about?
Yeah.
It was like, you guys are fucking wrong.
Yeah. But I'm glad they said no. Maybe I wasn't ready. I'm glad they said no because maybe it wouldn't have shown in my performance that night. Because I was hungry that night. I was like, I'm going to fucking destroy tonight. Like, I had everything on my back that night.
How much later?
My son was in the green room. Like, I got to fucking kill tonight.
But isn't that... There's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And you improvise a little, but you can't in these, right?
I did. I did that first right. that first 5 minutes that I posted was all off the top
improv.
Of my head.
Is your heart racing this whole time?
Yep. But I knew I had to make it relatable to Seattle. I wanted them to know that this was a real show, not just some taping where I'm going to go through a script. Like, I wanted them to understand that I'm here visiting your town, which is also my town, and I'm going to highlight some of the things that I've seen or know about. I had to.
Yeah.
Just to let everyone know, oh, okay, this guy's really here for us.
When did you know I am crushing, this is going to fucking sell? Did you think that at any point in the show?
When I I ad-libbed this one bit where I go, elevate the beat. I go, elevate the beat. Are you fucking stupid? I don't even know where that came from. It just happened. And I remember when I said it, I go, I got these fucking people right now. I knew it. Because I'd never even said that in my act for years. And I've been doing that joke forever.
You surprised yourself.
Yeah. When I felt the energy of them clapping at that joke, and then I kneeled down and I went, elevate the beat. Elevate the beat. Are you fucking stupid? And I looked at the camera when I did it. Are you fucking stupid? And I remember in my head, I was like, I got him.
And now you do that all the time.
No, I dropped that joke after the special aired. It was done.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened?
I don't do any of the stuff that's on my specials.
I think that's what a lot of people who don't know about stand-up comedy, they figure like, every time they go on stage, it's a new act. Like, you know,
it's so stupid.
Well, people work a year to get new material then do that. Then they do the same material for, then they go on tour with the material, right?
Yeah.
For a year or whatever. So it's a couple years of the same material.
Yeah. That's why I always try and ad lib because it makes me happy, you know? Like, it keeps me sane. I can't run through a whole set
and not add something.
I can't. I will hate myself if I'm in autopilot. I can't.
Yeah.
And I've done that. Don't get me wrong. There's situations where I'll take a gig and I'm just like, fuck this. Like, I'm not gonna work with you guys. You guys aren't here for it, so then I'm not going to be here for it. I've done that.
So you walk through it?
I'll walk right through it and just let my mouth run.
And it still works?
It gets the job done, but I'm not happy. And then I tell myself I'm not going back to that spot again.
Really? Can you tell?
They're usually like, which is what I've been turning down a lot of corporate. So those are the ones where I'll put in like autopilot. Even though the money's so good, I just like... I'm not a dancing monkey, man. You know what I mean? Like, eat your fucking dessert.
Really?
How I feel. I'm not a corporate whore.
All corporate.
No, I'm just not all, but like when I do walk into a corporate situation.
And they don't feel right.
And it's not feeling right, and I'm like dancing monkey guy, and you got the fucking wrong mic stand, and you didn't listen to anything that I put on my goddamn, you know, my
Rider.
Who the fuck are you,
Rob,
man?
Will you shut the fuck up,
man? Shut the fuck up. Press the space bar when you need to. That's it.
Maybe you should speak Tagalog.
Speak Tagalog, man.
I meant you to him.
Oh.
Maybe he'll understand that.
Yeah. Fucking shit, man. Put him in another room. Put him in another fucking room with the dogs, man.
Oh, you like dogs? What kind of question is that?
What kind of fucking...
You like dogs?
I was on a roll. No, but I just don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, just respect the art form, right? Respect the fucking art, man.
You're fun, man. You're fun. Well, that's a great story.
So, I turned down a lot of corporate, man. A lot. I get thrown at. Sometimes I do the math. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? But I can't. I can't do it. I won't like myself.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, there's people that do corporates and they live off of it and they've adjusted or they learned that art form because it is an art form. It's not a stand-up situation. It's not a stand-up friendly environment. It's made to lose. It really is. And if you want to do it, then do it. You got to learn that art form. But I'm not going to sit there and look at 30 fucking round banquet tables and you got people with their backs turned. They're clanking their fucking forks.
I know what it is. I just figured it out. You know what it is? You're so used to walking into an energy of people and life and love and like, let's fucking roll. And you walk into this and they're all sitting, eating their food. You were paid to be there to make some fuckers laugh, some business guys laugh.
Yes.
And you're like, this is not my energy.
That's not my energy.
And you fought it probably for a little while in the beginning.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to make, and you're like, no, what am I wasting my fucking energy? Just do what you got to do and get the fuck out.
Yeah. No one, I don't think anyone would like that. And you could talk to, I'm pretty sure you've heard that from other comics.
What?
Just the corporate. It's those aren't fun gigs.
Yeah.
They're hell gigs.
But it's
still great.
Good money.
They're money grabs.
Yeah.
Great money grabs.
But you said something. Let's go back because the story is great. Well, first of all, let me ask
I know
this.
We totally left my dad's situation.
No, because it was like, whoa, what the fuck? But before that, so after that, you edit this together.
Yeah.
You put it together and your agent and you guys send it back to Netflix, the same guys.
Yeah, we walked it in.
What do you mean you walked it in?
Well, I didn't walk it in. They walked it in.
Right, because you said we.
Well, I know. Well, you know, it is me. And my team is me. And my team is me.
Right.
And that's my work.
You're a team player.
Yeah.
And so they hand this to them. They didn't watch it then. They watched it on their own.
They watched it in a group. All of the execs watched it.
And how soon after
they watched it? They bought it the minute we dropped it. It was like maybe a day later. Or, you know, well, this is what they said. We dropped it. And they said, don't shop it around. And then right when they got it, they watched it. And then they called my agent and they go, don't shop it around. We want to put in an offer. So just take it off the market.
And when he told you that.
Uh-huh. I cried.
I was going to ask you. Did you cry on the phone?
Hell yeah. I'm crying right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful fucking thing. You really are crying.
I know.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, man. It was
big. You're a real guy, dude. You're a real fucking. You have that heart in you that just. You know, and I knew it when I met you, that inviting sort of, you love people, you love life, you love but you're passionate about what you do. You're so passionate what you do. I love that you're crying. You're gonna make me cry. Make Rob cry.
Fuck Rob. Fuck you, Rob.
Dude.
That was my dream. You know?
You wanted a special.
Yeah. It's from delirious to the, like, that's all I lived.
Oh.
And, you know, that's all I wanted to be was a stand-up comic. So them saying no was like, what? And I had to show them. So.
What a fucking story, dude. I don't know how many people would do what you did, would say, you know what? I actually did it, and it didn't work out the way your story worked. You know, a lot of people said, don't make your own movie, and I was just tired of people saying.
But why? Why are you saying that it didn't work out? Well, you did it, and you learned
from it. That's true. It didn't.
You did take
you know what it was?
It.
You know what it was? They said, everybody in Hollywood says, oh, I'm going to make a movie, and they never make a movie. They never. I just love people who actually make a movie or actually write a movie when they say they're going to write a movie. They say, I'm going to do something, and they do it. Because Hollywood and everywhere is filled with procrastinators who say they're going to do things. So I said, I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the guy that makes the movie.
Yeah.
And it was a low-budget little labor of love. And I love the movie. I really do love the movie, and I love the people in it, great people in it back in the day. And it didn't blow up like I thought it would. It didn't like get the attention that I thought it would because I didn't have the right distributor or whatever. And I'm still proud of it. I'm so proud of my achievements. I can't believe that I did it. So that's still there.
Yeah.
But there's something really good about, you know, going after it and when it actually is a huge success. That's what I'm saying is I'm not mad at myself for doing it. I'm proud of myself for accomplishing what I wanted to do. But to do what you do and then have the success on top of it, like saying, you're fuck you, I'm going to show you that I'm better than that. These are my dreams, not yours.
Yeah.
And then saying, boom, here it is. I did it. And all these things have to come together. Like, you know, your guy who's coordinating 50, you know, most people don't show up, or, you know, we have video problems, or we have everything lined up. And you were the most important. You were on.
Yeah.
You were on your game. You weren't like half coy. You were full coy.
Yeah.
And like that had to happen. And it all and that's a rare fucking thing. And you bring it into Netflix and they say, yeah.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
That's just, I've never heard that. Like these are Hollywood stories you don't hear about.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just rare, man.
And like I said, I love Netflix, man. They said no, but I'm glad they did because it sparked a fire in me. So thank you, Netflix. And then, you know, they gave me the two specials after that. And I love them over there. But like that's just a perfect example. I mean, imagine the coach that said no to Michael Jordan. It's like, you fucking idiot. Are you kidding me? Did you really say no to him?
Yeah.
But maybe if he didn't say no, he wouldn't have been Michael Jordan. And I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan. I'm just saying you could take those no's you can make them good. I just want to clarify that. Oh, Joe.
Did you hear that, Rob? Rob,
yeah,
why do you
fuck you,
that's
Rob.
What he meant, Rob.
He did it. I already see it. He's writing it down. Joe, this is the caption. Joe thinks he's the Michael Jordan of comedy. Come fuck yourself, Rob. Fuck you, man.
Jeez, man. What are you trying to do to my guest, bro? What are you doing to this show, bro?
Turn your own microphone
on. Will you finish
off
that peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I always leave
bro?
A little nibble like that.
For who? For Rob?
For Rob. The dogs.
You know, you said something. I'm going to go back to it now.
Yeah.
Where you said, I wanted my son to say, my dad did that. But you're a good father. Do you think you're a good father?
Yeah.
Have you always been a good father?
Always.
Do you think, so you, when you were speaking, you were making, like, I want to show my son that this is your dad. This is, like, but he probably, that was probably all in your head.
Yeah.
He probably was like, that's my dad. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Number one, like, not of his accomplishments, but how, what a father he is. Isn't that your greatest accomplishment, maybe?
Yeah.
If you think
about it. I love it. I love being my son's role model. I know my son looks up to me. Even though he doesn't say it, you know what I mean? But he sees it and he appreciates it. He sees the hustle, the hard hustle that I go through.
Yeah.
And he's seen it his whole life.
Does he work hard?
No, he's lazy. He's fucking lazy. But he's understanding. And I'm understanding my son. Like, you know, he's got the tutor, but he's still failing. He failed history. And they said that he can't continue at this school unless he takes history this summer, which is going to totally fuck our summer vacation up. So I might have to make a donation or some shit to the school.
Does that work?
Yeah, it works.
Here's a donation.
Yeah,
pass my son.
Pass my fucking son. We're going to Hawaii already. Jesus Christ. It's history, bro. It's always going to be there.
I love history.
I love history too.
That's the only thing I'm good at. I'm not good at anything else. That's what's funny. I was getting C's and D's and everything else.
Yeah. Failed history. But he's got a tutor. So who the fuck is this tutor?
Yeah.
Insert joke here, I guess. But it's just like, really, I looked at this tutor like, motherfucker, I could have got my son an F. I could have got him an F for free. Who the fuck are you? I'm paying you, Rob.
Do you use that in your stand-up routine?
I'm gonna now.
You have to. You have to say, I could have gotten my son an F.
Yeah, done.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Do you find stuff every day? Do you write it down? Do you say, this is a good joke?
I do in my head, and I don't write it down.
Do you remember? You'll remember this joke?
I try my hardest to remember. Yeah, I'll remember this.
I wrote it down for you.
Shut the f- I
swear to God.
I swear to God. My teeth are clenched right now. I'm not even opening my fucking
Are you an emotional guy?
Shut the fuck up.
You do cry. You cried, which was a beautiful thing. Very few people. Not a lot. Jennifer Love Hewitt was teared up. Zach Levi cried a little bit. There's another guy. I've cried. So this is, you're not the first.
No.
But are you an emotional guy always? Do you cry a lot?
If I feel passionate about something, yeah, I'm very emotional.
What makes you cry?
What I talked about, or my family situation. You know what I mean? Like when I talk about my brother, it's sad. Like I'm trying to make an effort this year. That's why when you asked me if I visit him, you know, it's
I know
hard.
You got you stopped for a second. You looked at me and go, is this what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
You almost seemed like, don't fucking talk to me about this.
Yeah.
In a way, but I felt like,
because he's a good guy. He's a really good
guy. Of course. And let me tell you something that I can relate in a way.
Yeah.
My dad has two daughters with my stepmother, Filipino woman. They're divorced now, but they had two children. The first child, my sister, Ava, who's beautiful and sweet and smart and fantastic and healthy. Then they had a second child, but the doctor during the pregnancy said, you don't need an amnio because the first child was so healthy, don't worry about it. And the baby, my sister Leah, who I have tattooed on my arms, was born with trisomy 13, I believe it's called. And it's like Down syndrome in a way. And she can't walk. She can't really speak. She can't do much of anything. She's almost died 50 times. It's been traumatic. My father and my stepmom have gone through absolute hell. And it's been 14 years and my sister's still going, and she's so tough, but she lives in a hospital, you know, that she has to be, she can't live at home because they have to take care of her. They have to keep her, you know, alive and certain. They have nurses and things like that. My dad goes and visits her every week, an hour drive outside of the city. And when you said, I haven't talked to my brother in 8 years, I haven't seen my sister probably in 8 years. And it's not for a lack of love. I just feel bad that I haven't made more of an effort, because I feel like part of me is like, she's not going to know me. She's not going to register. What does it matter? But I'm like, you know, it matters maybe to my dad.
Yeah.
Maybe if I just said, we're going to see Leah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's more important than how I feel or what I think. When you said 8 years, you haven't talked to him, I don't look at you and I'm like, oh my God, Joe, how could you? No one understands what you're going through unless they have a similar situation, yeah, or understand what I'm going through,
yeah,
or my dad's going through. So it's not that I don't want to. I feel like it's uncomfortable. Does he want me to? I should just say like, hey, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that.
No, I totally understand what
you're
saying.
But that's why I sort of, you know.
I love the memories that I have with my brother. And
you don't want them to get sort of,
yeah, man. I feel like when I talk to my brother, I feel a certain way about him. You know, I don't like getting mad at him, because I do, you know what I mean? Because I still don't understand, like, why are you not understanding this fucking conversation? You know what I mean?
Because he can't,
but you know what I mean? Not all of us are doctors like Robert,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
I can't make that diagnosis,
right? Yeah,
I'm talking to my brother, and you're my big brother. And that's how I look at it.
You know what it is? It hurts you.
It hurts. Ultimately, it does.
It's just this pain that just like, it hurts you so much that it's better for you to have a memory.
Yeah.
To better for you to have a moment.
And God is amazing, because it's crazy how he's installed these memories of my brother that were all good.
Right.
And it's fucking crazy that I latched onto those, because I was so young. You know what I mean? Because my brother's 8 years older than me. So he was diagnosed right around 14, 15. He started going in and out of hospitals. But for some reason, I still remember all the shit he did when he was 13 and 12, like to this day. Like, I still remember him playing basketball, and he was so good at it. I remember him buying me an Evel Knievel race car that did the Papa Willie, you know, for Christmas.
Yeah,
like,
I had
he
that.
He took his allowance money and bought me that. I remember that. I remember his room having all the posters that glowed in the dark when he had the black light on. You know what I mean? I remember his door, the front door said Herb Superb because my real last name's Herbert.
Right.
And he used to go by Herb Superb. You know what I mean? Like, I remember that. These are all vivid
Herb
memories.
Herb Superb.
And it was on the front part of his door. And his room was the shit, bro. He had lava lamps. I remember that. I remember him rolling joints in front of me. And he was putting it in a shoebox. And he hid it on the top of his closet. And he goes, don't tell mom and dad I'm doing this. And don't you ever touch these cigarettes.
See, this is why.
And I remember him listening to Heat Wave and Earth, Wind & Fire and the Commodores. I remember he had all the albums laid out on his TV stand and his...
Isn't it funny how you remember, like I just did this last night. I sat there and go, just keep thinking of what you can think of or remember from when you were young. And I can remember more than I can remember now. If you told me what I did yesterday, I have better recollection of what the room looked like, exactly where the furniture was, what we were talking about, what we were doing, all these things when I was little. And sometimes I think, like, you know, my childhood wasn't bad. I mean, like, my parents were dysfunctional and they were fucked up. And, you know, I've had major issues with them and I've had a lot of problems with myself because of that. But some things I work on. But I also remember, for some reason, I remember all the happy moments.
Yeah.
I go back and I remember all these happy moments.
Yeah.
Do you sort of rip the rearview mirror off a lot and you look forward, or do you like spend a lot of time thinking of like the past?
No, I black it out, man. I don't know why.
Except for just now, all those good moments.
But I only remember those. And like,
we were talking about it.
Yeah. But I hate reflecting back on those shitty times when I was a kid, you know?
Because you think your childhood mostly was shitty.
It was shitty. The Philippines was the best time of my life. St. Louis was the best time of my life. I don't really remember St. Louis. I only remember a couple of memories from there.
Right.
But because I think we moved from there when I was like 4. And then we moved to the Philippines. And then we were there for 6 years. So from 4 to like almost 11.
Yeah.
I mean, those were like great years, man. And I still remember those years. And it was the minute that we came back, it was just over with. The minute we moved to Tacoma, it was just horrible. It was just
like
the worst
for how time. Many years? Till you left?
Until I graduated and moved to Vegas. And then when I moved to Vegas,
that's
it was like
changed.
I pursued, yeah, I was 18 and I was going to pursue stand up. Like that was my goal, just stand up.
And your mom was your cheerleader, wasn't she?
She was my cheerleader during those times in the middle. But when it came after high school, it was all about, you know what I mean? Something about those first-generation immigrant moms. It's like, okay, you had fun until you're 18, but now life starts. So go to college, you know what I mean? But all I got were Ds. Well, you can go to community college, bring your GPA up, and then transfer over to a real college and then get a nursing degree, and you'll have... You know, you'll have medical and 401k. And like, she already got my retirement planned out.
Were you even thinking of listening to her?
No.
Not at all.
I went to school for about a semester.
And dropped out.
Yeah. I'm like, mom. And then I told my mom, I go, mom, I want to pursue stand up.
Was she upset?
Cried. Because I was the youngest and none of them went to college.
When did she finally go, okay?
When I finally made it, and she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. What moment?
Fuck.
That wasn't that. It was before the Netflix.
Kind of, I guess. It was like Chelsea Lately.
When you were on the Round Table.
When I was on the Round Table, then she was like,
oh, you're on TV.
All my friends watched that. Wow. But she still didn't understand that I was killing it on the road. She didn't understand stand up.
Right.
It was pissing me
off.
You're
not on the TV.
She didn't care that the specials came out. She didn't. I remember when I got the Tonight Show, it was like so like. I remember I called her from Just for Laughs, and Ross and Bob, walked up to me. And go, we were putting you on the Tonight Show, and I walked outside of New Faces, and I called my mom. It was the first person I called. I go, mom, you're not gonna believe this. I got the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Oh, okay, that's great. You know, your auntie Stella is having a birthday, and so. If you can try and make, like, fucking, are you kidding me right now?
Dude, that's...
Like, I just got the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
15 years.
I want enthusiasm. That was the same thing. I mean, oh my God, with my dad, it's like, hey, I'm doing this short film.
Yeah.
Well, why is it short?
Yeah, make it longer.
That's not a real movie.
Yeah.
Short film.
I never went to a theater to watch a short film.
Yeah, I'm going to... This is, I'm doing off-Broadway. Off-Broadway.
Off, get on.
Get on.
Get on the Broadway. Why are you off of it? I could go to New York and be off-Broadway.
My movie's going to be in a festival.
With Ferris wheels and candy corn?
No, a movie festival.
Are there going to be clowns juggling?
This is my whole life.
Yeah.
And then after I made my movie, I got a text. We saw your movie. Oh, great. Thanks. I said nothing. It's just hard for him to express any kind of that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm proud of you. I never had that. That's why I always talk about it. Tell your fucking kids I love you. Tell them you're proud of them. You can discipline them and then say, hey, you know, don't fucking sniff gasoline. But, you know, it's so easy to just say, I love you. I'm proud of you.
Yes.
You know, talk to me.
Yeah, man.
I just never had that. I never fucking had that. And that was vital. That's so easy.
Yeah.
If I just had somebody that was like more like, get them, dude. I'm so proud of you. Go for it. You can do that. I had to do it on my fucking own.
Yeah.
I had to fucking know that I was good.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Because you wanted that.
I wanted that response. I wanted a response.
And that's why I did the fucking
Netflix
special.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm glad you summed that up for me. You're right.
Right.
You know, and when
you weren't getting it.
I wasn't, bro.
We weren't getting it.
When my dad left, and don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on my dad.
I understand.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm not shitting. I'm not shitting on him. He was 18 when he had me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got to put yourself in those shoes in that situation. I get it. Like, I have a great dad. He's a great dad. He's the only one that visits my brother. Only one. It's not even his fucking son. And he's the one that got his ass kicked the most for my brother. Broken ribs, fucking black eyes. Like no shit, I'd leave too. This isn't even my fucking son. I adopted this fucking guy when he was 8. 6 years later, he's beating the shit out of me. You know what I mean? We're rumbling in front of the goddamn front of the house and cops are coming. All the neighbors are looking at me. I got to tell my officer that my son kicked my ass. He's not even my son. Like, mind you, I'm telling my dad has never told me this. This is me talking for my dad right now. This is me writing my dad's story in front of you right
now.
He never told me this. This is what I observed. You know what I mean? So I get it. I told my dad that. I go, I get it, Dad. I understand. I would have fucking left too. It's not my kid. But I also told him, I just want you to know I was hurt. You know what I mean? I was like looking for a dad.
Do you think you need to have sort of a shitty life or need to get a lot of rejection to be successful?
No.
Do you have to have some kind of flaw?
I think that when my dad left, I and my mom had to work long hours and no one was at home, and I just buried myself in stand-up, you know? Like, it's like that Truman Show part, the beginning of Truman Show where he just watches TV and then he just becomes part of that TV world. Like, that was really me, man. I literally would sit in front of the TV and just watch stand-up left and right. I couldn't stop. I was addicted. Go to video stores and just rent any kind of stand-up comedy. I was in love with it.
Did you ever, how long did it take to get rid of nerves, to get rid of, like, I'm shitting my pants, to get rid of, like, oh, my God, can I do this? How before you were completely confident in what you were doing?
When I was completely confident in talking about my life instead of just being, like, this fucking comic that's just trying to be funny, that took me about 10 years. It took me about 10, 11 years. And Jamie Masada, God bless you, Jamie, over at the Laugh Factory, the owner, he's the one that was like, you have to talk about your mom. Because I'd always do it upstairs, you know, upstairs in the Laugh Factory. Like, I would always joke around and tell stories about my mom or what my mom did. And Jamie was like, my God, buddy, that's so funny. Like, you got to talk about your mother. And then I was like, I know I want to. Like, I even had jokes written, but I was just so scared. Jamie goes, you can't do any more jokes. You just go up, talk about your mother. And he goes, and if you don't, then I won't put you up. That's what he did for me. Yeah. Seriously.
And that changed everything.
I would MC shows and be so mad because I wanted to do my go-tos and crush. You know what I mean? I wanted to like fucking light that crowd up, but I couldn't. And it'd be sold out, man.
And it changed your whole
It changed
act.
Everything. Changed everything, yeah.
And they started laughing.
Slowly. At first, they weren't getting anything. But I understood why, because I was doing like shitty Filipino jokes. You know what I mean? I wasn't telling a story. I wasn't being the conversation guy that I was upstairs.
Jesus Christ. All right, so you were one of the guys like Harlan and Bobby Lee. Who said,
Harlan was already...
No. I'm saying that they got me to do stand-up.
Yeah.
And you said, come to the Ice House.
I told you to do it too, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You were one of those guys, and you said, come to the Ice House. And I'd never done it. I mean, you were the second time I'd ever done it.
Yeah.
And I went up and did 10 minutes. scared and I did my fucking thing or whatever. And you go, how did you feel? Yeah. I go, I felt pretty good. I thought, and your note was, you know, it's really, you know, you're like, tighten it up, get to the joke faster, get to this, you know,
cut the fat,
which is like, you know, I'm brand new to this. So I started listening to you and I started going up in Comedy Store and Laugh Factory and all these things. And do you know the one thing that most people probably would have been like, oh my God, yes. Jamie Masada, I went up at the Laugh Factory one night and he had never seen me and I did 20, 25 minutes. I'm not tooting my own horn. He took me aside and said, how long have you been doing this? I go, a couple months. He goes, you've got this.
Oh, nice.
Not many people I say that to. You've got this. You've got to keep coming up here and doing it and doing it and doing it.
Yeah.
You've got this. I want to see you here all the time.
Oh, nice.
And I looked at him and I go, okay. And I was terrified.
Really?
That's what, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've only been up a couple times since.
Really?
It scared me so much that he thought I was good, where I just wanted to always prove myself. It's not that I was like I was there.
Yeah.
He was just saying you have that potential. You have that. You see. And I was just like, oh my God. That means the next time I'm up on stage in front of him, I have to be better than I was.
Ah.
That's
imagine. That's your mentality.
What is that?
I don't know. That we all do that though.
What is that?
I don't know. Comics, like, we're the worst critics, man.
But why do I do that?
We all do it. I'm with you on that. I can see why you have that fear.
I got scared, like, oh my God, he says I'm great. I'm not.
Yeah.
Now I have to prove that.
But he didn't say you're great. He says you're potentially going to be great. He sees it already.
He says you have it.
You have it.
I see it.
Yeah. So now hone it. Yeah. That's what he said to me.
And look at you.
Yeah.
I kind of quit, and you kept going. Well, I was doing other shit, but I was like, I was doing it for fun. But I do love it. But it is it's not for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart. It is the scariest thing, and especially if you're doing it in Hollywood in front of all these people who are snobs. And especially when you're going up with Joe Rogan and Joe Coy and all these big names out there and Chris D'Elia, and you're going up, and I'm going right in the middle of these fuckers with no experience. I had explosive diarrhea. I was throwing up almost every night. I was a mess. I couldn't sleep. I was in fight or flight all the time.
Damn.
I could understand why people have a drink before they go on.
I don't understand that.
Why?
Actually, okay, I used to throw about 3 beers before I used to go on stage, so I'm not going to lie. I'll stop. But it was when that's back in the day when I used to record myself a lot. I don't know why I would record myself because I would never watch it, but I always would press record before I went on stage. And then one night, I wanted to watch it because I remember I was riffing off the crowd, and I remember I there was something I did that was really funny, and I wanted to see it, you know what I mean? And when I played it back, I was slurring. That's the ugliest shit I've ever seen. Like, it was like watching the drunk funny guy. And I didn't want to be that guy.
Oh.
So now I don't drink at all.
So what you
don't even bring liquor to the green room. I don't.
So what you thought was funny when you watched it back sober, you realized
that's not funny. I was a drunk. I was a clown.
This guy's going nowhere, is what you thought.
Yeah. It looked bad. I had the beer. I kept grabbing it because I had it on the stool. Like, I guess I thought that's what a comic is supposed to look like. You know what I mean?
How do you go your own way? How do you fucking say, is it a combination of little moments where Jamie Masada says, mom jokes, stop with the other, just the regular jokes? Is there moments along the way that transition you or mold you into who you become?
Well, the thing is, I don't want to give Jamie 100% credit. Because I was already writing mom jokes, you know what I mean? I was already doing it. But if it wasn't Jamie telling me that I couldn't do anything else but the mom jokes, I don't think I'd be where I am right now, you know what I mean? He really, like, forced it down my throat. Because I would have probably kept leaning back, you know, and just go to my go-tos, my crowd pleasers. And man, he made me walk into that flame pretty hard. And that's what I knew. When I started telling the story, that's when I knew it was funny. That's when I was like, oh, I got this. This is good. I love it. And plus, it was a real story. That's what I loved the most. Yeah. And then it got to the point where I was like, oh, I'm going to tell every story. I was just vomiting jokes. You know what I mean? Like, it was just coming naturally. And then my son. And then I was like, oh, if I could do that, I can talk about my son. And then I started doing my son stuff.
What does he want to do?
I know for a fact my son wants to be in the creative space. So that's why I'm not mad at him at school, because I can't get mad at you for failing history when I failed every class.
Yeah.
And you have my brain. You definitely have my brain. I see it, you know? So I told him, I go, but can you at least just get through this? Just get through it, because you need it. you definitely need a diploma.
Just
you
know get, I mean? Get through it.
And you need to learn discipline. You know what I mean? Because when you go to the workspace, there's going to be people that are worse than teachers. You know what I mean? That are going to ask you to do assignments. So at least learn that. Learn that muscle. You know what I mean? Be average. Because whatever it is that you have creatively, you're going to be above average. You're going to be fucking far more superior than anybody else that went to college, got a doctor and what a doctorate or whatever, whatever the fuck it is that you guys got. I have the same thing in stand-up. Right. I crush you. This is my fucking degree.
This has been incredible. I you know what's funny is I always do this to Rob. I'll go, you know, I know, Joe, I was on his podcast, The Koi Pond. Adam Carolla produces it. You guys have been working together for a while. Yeah. The guy sells that. We haven't seen each other in a long time. But right when you get here, I feel like this, it's just family. It really does feel like that. Immediately, I just felt like, oh my God, I want to squeeze you.
I know. Fucking,
and then like, you're so open and I can talk to you for hours.
I love it. I remember the first time we met. It was like you were like my brother. I remember we were just like how me and my brother were.
Back you know and I mean? Forth, just laughing back at each forth. Other. Because I get a kick out of you.
Yeah.
I really get a kick out of you. I'm like Dean Martin.
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Rob, do you know that song?
No.
Is that a word?
I get a kick out of you? You don't know that song?
Sing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe.
I get a kick out of you.
Oh.
You give me a boot. Fuck it. Anyway, listen. So what do we got? We got how many Netflix? You have two more you're going to be doing?
Yeah.
And you have how many on? You have one Netflix on now?
One Netflix.
That's the one.
That's
that we've been
favorite.
Talking about.
Yeah.
The one that you guys got to watch if you haven't seen this. Everybody, check this out. You're always on tour. I mean,
yeah.
what's your Instagram? What's your Twitter? So these guys can follow you and see your stand up wherever they are in the country and the world.
J O K O Y. Everything. J O K O Y.
Joe Koi.
Yeah.
And you got the Koi Pond still?
Koi Pond, yes.
You're still doing that every week or when you can?
Can you come back on?
Would you have me?
I would be honored.
Dude, I love doing your show. Again, it's like one of these things where it just...
That was one of the best pods that I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, I told you that when you left. I was like, dude, this was fucking amazing.
It was. It's just so easy. Like this is one of my favorites, too. If not my favorite, because it's like...
I'm sorry I got so deep.
Dude,
I wanted to be funny
dude,
with you tonight.
It probably is my favorite because of how deep you got. When you honestly can just let go and just talk to somebody and something happens... That's fucking life, man. It's not like, hey, man, here's what I'm doing, and like I'm a fake person. This is why people love you because you're a genuine dude, and somebody who can emote like that to me is just like, come on,
love you.
We should all be like that. Why don't you cry, Rob?
I'm not allowed to
tearless.
Talk.
He doesn't have tear ducts. He had them removed. He had them removed at 14.
Is that true, Rob?
Is it true?
Do you cry?
No,
not often. No.
When's the last time you cried when your baby was born?
I didn't cry then.
Nah, he didn't care.
Do you cry when you orgasm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only time
hurts.
I cry.
Because it hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Penis tears. Joe Koi, you can find him everywhere. Please watch the Netflix special. He's got two more coming out. You're going to be a big fan of his. I know it. I'm a big fan of his. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, my friend.
I love you, man.
I love you, too.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.